This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Now, we've seen a surge of retail investors back in the markets, both in the US and in Malaysia. And with this new surge, there are concerns brewing about investors getting in over their heads. So today on Ringgit and Cents, I explore the common mistakes of investing, as well as the importance of financial education. To help me with this, I speak to Dato' Hamida Naziadin, CEO of CIMB Foundation. CIMB Foundation runs a financial literacy program called BSmart, and also Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director of GEM Systems. GEM Systems works on financial intelligence programs for adults and children. Dato, Raymond, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Roshan, for having us.
I think let's start off with simple observations that you guys have made from young people during this crisis. I think in the early part of the year, we saw the market crash, and now we're seeing the market boom, and there's a lot more exuberance around the market and a lot more people getting involved, a lot more retail involvement for sure. Raymond, maybe we can start with you. What are some of the mistakes you've observed from young people when it comes to investing, whether during this crisis or otherwise?
I think the first thing is not understanding their own personal risk profile, Roshan. Everybody has a different risk profile. For example, I may be more comfortable taking a higher risk investments, or I may be actually more comfortable with moderate risk. But what happens is many people, young people, follow a herd mentality. If they see everyone or a friend going into this direction and everybody's investing in something, so they feel that, okay, that should be the right thing to invest in because everybody's doing it. And that's a very big mistake. You know, I think you should actually find out what your personal risk profile is, what your education level is, before you make any decisions with your own hard-earned savings and investment capital.
And Raymond, just to be clear, you're not a CFP or licensed financial planner, but you are an educator, and you've been in the field for quite some time. If I'm right, 20 years, is that right?
But 25 years. We've been doing programs on financial literacy from kids all the way to retirees. I've written books on the subject and a syllabus as well. Yes.
All right, and Dato, let's get your view on this. From your personal observations and your experience, what have you seen? What are some of the common mistakes that you have seen people make, or whether young people or otherwise?
Okay, thanks, Roshan. I think before we even talk about all this investing, or as you said, you know, investing during a crisis, we really should look at what are the key concerns around financial health today, especially with our youths. And I would say that this would include rising unemployment. The unemployment rate for youths today, and you're talking about youths age 24 and under, is even higher, as it has increased by 1.3% to 14.2%, according to the Department of Statistics Malaysia. Now, the temptation to spend and keep on spending, for example, with all this online shopping, you know, with that quick shop now or just swipe up link, you know, or all this online gaming with micro transactions that gradually add up, all with the latest gear and accessories. So our BSmart program is not about saying, no, you can't do all these things, you know, including their lifestyle spending if they want, you know, the extra cup of coffee. And I'm talking about pre-pandemic or taking a certain number of trips every year. So BSmart program is not about saying, no, you can't do all this, but it is about guiding our youths on understanding their financial goals and how to achieve them. So BSmart is all about building that financial literacy to help them plan and see beyond the short term. So we want them to know, when do they invest in a car? When can they use ride-hailing services? You know, there's no need to own a car. Maybe you just use, now that you have all these ride-hailing services available, because with cars, if you own cars, it's not just about parking, but there's a petrol, there's a maintenance, there's road tax, etc. Or do you really need to purchase a property now? Where does it come? It's a long-term thing that they need to actually be careful of. and when do you go into the stock market, etc. So these are, so in a way, these are some of the mistakes, some temptation, you know, and also a little bit of, they probably will be still a little bit raw in all this. And that's why we came up with this program to help guide them to do, to have a better understanding of financial planning, so that they do not start off, as we said, you know, youth bankruptcy, they do not start off in life laden with debts.
Now, a bankruptcy is definitely one of those concerns that we're seeing now, especially on the back of the fact that the loan moratorium is coming to an end. We're going into a targeted moratorium. There have been job losses, salary cuts. These are all concerns that are being observed at this point. Now, on the flip side, we're seeing this incredible resurgence in the retail investing market. Dato, do you, as, similar to what I asked Raymond earlier, do you have any concerns around this, or what are some of the mistakes that you've observed on this front?
Investing is one thing, but they need to actually have enough savings to invest. And that is where BeSmart actually helped them prepare. So we talk about, okay, you must have always built up on your buffer savings first, right? You must have enough buffer savings before you consider investing. You might want to actually prepare yourself with a buffer for 6 months. Do your homework and invest for the long term. Do not be so, you know, because when you invest during a crisis, it can be very, very stressful, especially for all these new investors, and they may have other pressing concerns, like you mentioned just now, with their job situation or finances. They must know that it actually takes years to build on their portfolio. So they must always do research. They must always be patient and try to avoid investing for the sake of quick returns. And always, always have an exit plan. I think that is so important. And all this, actually, I pick up from you, Raymond.
Raymond, let's follow up on that, actually. When we take a look at some of the concerns around investing, it's, I guess, the idea that some people may be getting in over their heads. I mean, now the market is going up, but what happens when there's a little bit of a crunch on their parts? Let's talk, and this all, I think, highlights the necessity to look at risks when it comes to investing. What are the risks that one must be aware of before investing? What are your thoughts on this?
I think understanding when the... because people think, oh, things are very low now, so it's a good time to go in. I mean, just to put it in layman's language, I think the prices are at rock bottom, so it's very interesting to go in, and there's some very exciting companies to invest in that do certain things which are very pandemic-centric. Okay, but the pandemic is not something long-term. It's something short-term. And when you invest in a company, you know, you need to like the business, and you must see the potential over the long-term period. And I think many people are making very short-term decisions on investing and using sometimes capital and savings, as Datuk mentioned earlier, that is actually a buffer for them. You know, what happens if they lose their job? What happens if they get into a crunch situation where they have to start paying back? You know, the moratorium is coming to an end, and you have to start paying back those loans, you know, and you get into trouble. So a lot of people don't understand the long-term horizon when they're making decisions now. You know, some people are taking in EPF savings and investing. Some people are even thinking about, you know, I think it's a good time to take to later on apply for a personal loan and use that money to invest, because I think things are going to go up high. So optimism is good, but you cannot be overly optimistic with investing. You've got to also understand the risk of investing, especially as a new investor in the stock market. You've got to see trends over a few years. Did those companies do well before the pandemic? Are they going to do well after? You know, so you can't just make short-term decisions when you're investing, Roshan. I think that's an important risk factor to consider.
I think, yeah. Raymond, we need to also let them know that they need to be wary of scams, right? Or any investment schemes sometimes that seem too good to be true. So correct. Especially the inexperienced or first-time young investors, they can easily be misled or tempted, you know, by all these scams. So that's what this financial literacy is all about, to give them some guidance on that. So they need to really know what to invest, understand their long-term goals. Don't be, you know, because the temptation can be quite high. And when they see all these quick methods to make money, right?
And yeah, I think that's
very true.
Yeah, that's something very important to highlight. There have been a lot of scams that have come up. And generally speaking, if it's too good to be true, it probably is not true. And this is something that I think we all have to hold in the back of our minds. And understanding what you're investing in is very important, whether it's the stock market or bonds or robo-advisory or whatever it is that you are looking to invest into. If you don't understand where the returns are coming from, that could be a cause for concern. And we're actually going to take a look at some of the key principles of responsible investing in just a little bit. Keep it here to Ring It and Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Today, we're taking a look at financial education and lessons to learn from investing, especially during the pandemic. And to help me with this, I'm speaking with Dato' Hamida Naziaddin, CEO of CIMB Foundation, and Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director of GEM Systems. Now, right now, we're taking a look at some of the key principles of responsible investing. Raymond, could we start with you here? In your view, from your own observations and experience, what are some of the key principles when it comes to investing?
I think one of the most important things is to do your homework, never follow a herd mentality. You know, in the BSmart program that we run with CIMB Foundation, we actually simulate a stock market in the program. And we actually give them scenarios where people have just gone in based on a rumor, they've gone in based on a herd mentality. And sometimes those things don't pan out. You know, you need to basically understand what you're investing in, what your risk profile is, what your exit plan is. So these are some very important things to really decide in on before you go in and invest. For example, if you want to make 25%, all right? If you, as soon as you make 25%, a mistake that some young investors make is that, oh, look, it's going up even more. Let's try and make 35%. Let's try and make 50%. And they hold on for too long and then they end up losing. You know, so you've got to understand your exit plan is you've got to be very disciplined with it. I think the other thing is to invest in the long term. Don't look at short term decisions, because sometimes when you buy an investment, it's not going to pan out within a month. You know, you'll have to wait and you probably have to hold it for 6 months or more. And so does the company have the ability to actually sustain that growth, you know, post-pandemic or crisis? Is it going to be doing well in the long term? Did they do well before the crisis started? I think these are important questions that you need to ask. And the most important thing is please understand the difference between what Datuk mentioned earlier, your buffer, your basic savings for a crisis, your own personal crisis in case you lose your job, in case something happens, and your investment capital. Don't mix the two. Yeah, Roshan?
Yeah, Raymond, you said that it's important to do our homework into whatever we're investing. Now, what does that mean? Because what should we be looking at?
Some of the things we advise young people in our program, the BSmart program, is to look at mirroring the market. There are plenty of apps that allow you to actually act as if you're buying at a certain period, test out whether you're actually making money in the next 1 year until you get comfortable. Okay, do research on, let's say, their five-year pricing trends. Do research on their contracts. Do they actually have contracts? Is it just PR? Do they have a very good cash balance, you know, in the company? Is the company strong enough to sustain over a period of years? So there are a lot of things that we actually teach young people when it comes to investing in our program. And that's the kind of homework that you need to do. Actually, you need to look at their long-term horizons. You need to look at their cash level that they have. You need to look at whether the product's going to be in demand in the future. It's going to be something that's going to be replaced. You know, what are the current trends like with the industry? I think these are important questions to ask when you do your homework before you make a decision to invest, you know?
And yeah, touching on another thing you said earlier about goals, right? It's very important. So you used the quantum you used was a 25% return. Let's say if you set your goal was 25% and you hit it, don't be lured in by the fear of missing out more, I guess. But I guess a return goal is a bit more short-term in nature. Some of the more appropriate goals? You know, because a lot of times we talk about how important financial goals are to overall investing. What would you say are some of these financial goals and how do we tie them to investing?
I think it's not about making money in a particular investment. It's about financial freedom. It's about having good capital for you to actually retire on. And I think Datuk can speak a bit more on this because we cover it a lot in our program. But, you know, do you want to be in a position where you can actually be living from your investments when you're 50 plus? Whether you have a certain number of properties that can give you a good return on rental, do you want to be able to have a certain amount of capital by that time, which you have generated not just from saving money, but from investing the money. So these are important goals that you need to think about at a very young age. And financial planning is a journey. It's not something short term. So you got to look at, in the long term, how can you accumulate that financial literacy and work towards achieving those goals? Yeah.
Dato, do you have anything to add to what Raymond said there?
Yes. One very important point for the young ones would be, I think they need to actually practice living within their means. That's so important. So, and that's what we teach in Be Smart. We encourage students to live within their means and avoid spending excessively on things that they may not need, you know, such as regularly dining out, going shopping, and more. And then we try to share real-life examples of all these lessons learned, example from people who took on too many financial commitments and what happens when the financial burdens become too large to manage. See, for example, AKPK mentioned that 45% of Gen Y did not pay their credit cards on time at some point. So I think they need to really, it's very important. And again, this is something we have in our Be Smart program. It's about living within your means, to add on to what Raymond has shared just now.
So those are some of the lessons, whether it comes to your own finances or whether it's investing. These are some of the important things to keep in mind. Raymond, what would be some of the principles that you think are important for young investors to learn when they are doing something like mirroring the market or even just researching different investments?
I think the first thing is to look at time, because investment always comes with a fixed period of time. How often can you check the market? You know, if you're looking at making very quick returns, you know, can you afford to check every day? Do you have an app that alerts you when prices reach a certain point? Set up your system first. How are you going to actually track? How are you going to actually look at maintaining that exit plan? Okay, if you're supposed to go in, make 15%, come out when it's 15%, be disciplined there. But there are apps that can help you to do that now. And I think it's important for you to understand how to use those apps, what apps to use, how you're going to track it, what are you going to do. The other thing, and how often are you going to track? That's very important, because if you go, suddenly you're busy with something and you go 1 month without checking your investments, even if you're mirroring, that's not a good practice. So you have to set up with the right principles and the right practices from the start. So this is how I'm going to do it, but I'm just not going to use my own money until I'm comfortable, until I understand the market, and then you move on. Now, the other thing that's very important is to learn from your mistakes. How come that you, what was the reason why you picked a certain stock and it tanked? And you thought it was going to do well. So what can you learn from your mistakes? The third thing is, I think if something is high risk to you and you're starting off new, please use funds that you could actually, what we call high risk investment funds, things that if they don't pan out, they're okay. Maybe like, you know, 5 or 10% of your overall savings. Don't go in 100% into something new that's high risk if you're a new investor, Roshan.
What have you observed to be some of the most common mistakes people make when they invest in the stock market in particular?
The number one mistake I see is greed. People go in with, let's say, you know, with they understand, okay, I'm supposed to make 20%, but they end up holding shares longer because they just get excited that things are going up. That's the number one mistake that people make. Secondly, you got to know when to cut your losses, okay? So I think having an exit plan is critical. So this 20% is what I want to make. If it falls below a certain threshold and it's not coming up over a certain months, then I'm going to cut my losses and try again. Because you can always make the money back. You don't have to hold it until it really bottoms up and the company goes into a PN17 status or whatever, you know, bankruptcy. You need to understand when am I getting out, when am I getting in a good time and in a bad time. Make those decisions before you go in, I think. So that's the number one mistake. The other mistake is commonly, it's a herd mentality. When people hear rumors that this is an emerging market, they read an article and saying, oh, suddenly the sales have gone up in certain industries in the market, and everybody rushes in. But how much do you actually know about the company? How good do you think are their future prospects, not current prospects? Huh? You know, so it's important to actually do your research, have a research plan on the shares that you want to invest in, have enough knowledge in their cash flow, in how well the future prospects are going to be for that market. You know, what are the type of strategies they're going to use in the long term? It's like, you know, imagine if it's your own business. Do you like it enough to invest in? I think that's an important question to ask. And many people don't ask that. They actually don't like the industry. but they're going in because everybody else is doing it. So those are some common mistakes, Roshan.
One of the things that has really seen a gaining popularity over the last few years are exchange-traded funds or ETFs. And even in Malaysia, we've seen a few robo-advisories come in that particularly use ETFs here. And one of the attractions of it is that you're buying using ETFs to buy a basket of stocks. So you're not really too concerned about one, two individual ones and the rise of passive investing. Raymond, what are some of your thoughts here?
I think ETFs are a good start, okay, because you have somebody else putting a basket together with you. But again, with ETFs or even some other funds that you invest in, are they investing in things that you like? You know, I recently invested last year or 2 years ago in a basket of funds that invests the tech market in China, and I came out at the right time. So we made a lot of money based on those funds, and you have to ask yourself. What are the things that those funds are investing in? Because there are different ETFs that invest in different things, Roshan. So do you like the sectors that those funds are investing in? And if you really can't make decisions on your own yet, I think ETFs are a good start for you. You know, to look at ETFs or unit trusts or certain things that are looking at investing in certain sectors which you find are going to be high growth sectors and look at getting into those sectors yourself. But then again, with every investment or every piece of advice that you hear from people, you must remember it's your own money. Yeah? Someone goes into the market, they lose 100,000, it's fine because they have a 3 million ringgit buffer. Okay, but so for some other people, 100,000 is all they have left. So you should never take advice from people. You should make your own decisions.
I think that's a very, very important point to make there, Raymond. A lot of times, it whatever advice you get, whatever information you hear, end of the day, it's your own money on the line. So you've got to really ensure that, again, that using that word, you got to do your homework into the asset or the investment you're looking at. All right. And on that note, thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you, Roshan, for having us.
Thank you, Roshan.
I was speaking with Dato' Hamida Naziaddin, CEO of CIMB Foundation, and Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director of GEM Systems. Now, remember, when it comes to all possible investments, you have to do your own homework into the assets and strategies, keeping your risk profile and financial goals in mind. You've been listening to Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisen for BFM 89.9.
Ring It and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.